Chapter 5.
"Now remember," said Val, "as soon as you touch the envelope, you're committed. There's no going back. The ministry forbids it. Think carefully before you choose. Your whole future will be in your hands."
"Quit pressuring him," grunted Amal.
"Smile, dummy,"
giggled Sophia, snapping away like the paparazzi.
"Hush, darling, be nice to your brother. It's a big day for him," soothed Val.
"He's scared of robots,"
cheered Sophia.
"Am not," snapped Michael.
Amal steered Sophia away to take photos of their extended family, who had traveled up for Michael's ceremony.
"Someone at school said you can't look them in the eye," whispered Michael.
"Nonsense," replied Val. "The custodians are here to protect us. Just be respectful and show them you love the ministry."
"Relax, kiddo. You'll do great," winked Amal.
Val finished running the lint roller over Michael's blazer and presented him to the crowd.
"My boy's going to be a man," she declared.
As a cheer rang out from the assortment of aunts, uncles, and cousins, the clock tower chimed 11. Michael cringed, hating the attention his unwieldy clan was drawing from the clusters of other families waiting in the square.
"Go, go, you mustn't be late,"
urged Val. There were tears in her eyes. She gave him a final rib-breaking hug, then shoved him towards the stone steps and buried her face in Amal's side. Since childhood, Michael had been taught that this day was a gift, that it embodied the greatest virtues of their civilization. So why was his mother looking so concerned, and why was Amal comforting her? He climbed with trepidation. The building was an imperious marvel, a vast dome framed by two tall towers with spires stretching into the clouds. The ministry's maxim was inscribed around the dome in large, repeating gilded capitals, "Regulating life to liberate lives." As Michael climbed, a young woman was descending the steps. She had tanned skin, multiple earrings, and a rebellious attitude to shirt tucking. Michael glanced back to see her welcoming committee, but there wasn't one. The only group waiting below was his own whooping circus. Cringing, Michael hurried upward, hoping the attractive girl wouldn't think they were with him. Inexplicably, his hand chose to do a mini-wave. "Hey," he mumbled. The woman held up her middle finger and passed Michael without smiling. He hastened toward the green archway on top as the clock ceased chiming. The copper frame had oxidized long ago, but the polished marble surrounding it looked new. Michael presented a white envelope to the clerk. It was worn and somewhat dust-stained. The clerk pulled out the brief document within. It bore Michael's name and date of birth and his parents' names, all printed in the ministry's standard typeface 18 years ago. She posted the letter through a bronzed chute, then beckoned Michael through a turnstile. Michael's mouth fell as he stepped into the grand atrium of soaring archways and elaborate masonry. He'd seen nothing like it. He hesitated in the middle of the lobby, his feet straddling a marble sun and moon.
"Quickly, please, we have many people to see today," urged the clerk.
Michael glanced back at the turnstile. What if he ran? What if he refused to go? The clerk cleared her throat, as if reading Michael's mind.
"I wouldn't try that. Come on, place your hand over here."
She led him to a font made of white marble infused with black veins. The block was hip-width and came up to Michael's lowest rib. The stone was cold to touch and perfectly smooth from the generations of hands that had passed across it over the centuries.
"Michael Hadley, the ministry sees you and welcomes you to recite the creed," said the clerk.
Michael hesitated, nervously.
"A copy of the scripture can be provided if you would rather—"
"No, I know it,"
interjected Michael.
He let out a deep breath and closed his eyes. "We, the citizens, ask that the ministry, born of the wisdom of our ancestors, bears the burden of our mortality, so that we may live most freely, within the confines of impermanence. I hereby vow to protect this gift, cherishing all consciousness, accepting all consequence, and returning in love and gratitude. On the day I so choose, this is my fate, and it is my own. In good faith, I do make this vow."
Michael opened his eyes. The clerk nodded curtly and placed one hand across her chest.
"The ministry hears you, Michael Hadley, and shall receive your burden."
"I am un—"
"Not yet, kid. You gotta go up there first," said the clerk, pointing to the tower. Come along. They're waiting.
She led him to an elevator at the base of the tower. Its brass buttons gleamed beneath the flickering gas lanterns overhead. An automaton stood in the threshold, occupying half of the narrow doorway. Michael squeezed inside, awkwardly.
This one's level 25, 6B, said the clerk, remaining in the lobby.
The automaton punched a button, and the grate rattled shut. The clerk crossed Michael off her list and returned to the desk, while the elevator rose with a clatter. Whereas Michael was enjoying a flood of relief having not fluffed any lines of the creed, the lad beside him was an anxious mess, sweaty, trembling, hyperventilating.
Relax, friend, that's the tricky part over with. We made it. They're going to ease our burden now. The ministry loves us, said Michael earnestly.
You think? Laughed the boy.
Michael looked at his feet, blushing.
You don't get it, do you? Continued the boy. This is it. The beginning of the end.
We're only choosing a letter. It's not a big deal, muttered Michael.
And what if it's got today's date on it? You'll never leave this building again.
The elevator shuddered to a halt and the gilded grate clattered open. The automaton turned its mechanical head to face the boy, then pointed into the hallway. With a moan, the boy departed, and the elevator continued upwards. Michael's head swam, mulling the boy's words as they climbed.
What if I choose today?
Fear took root in his mind. The doors reopened, and the automaton raised a silent finger, pointing Michael left. It was a far cry from the splendor of the atrium. The deserted corridor was narrow, the red carpet faded and worn. Nervously, Michael set off. Each room had a small window cut into the door at eye level. The rooms were circular, and the walls lined with mailboxes from floor to ceiling. The boxes were identical, neat metal flaps wide enough for an envelope and tall enough for a lock and name card to be fitted to the front. An automaton was depositing a letter into one of the mailboxes. Opposite sat an 18-year-old boy with a garland around his neck, who was fidgeting with the hems of his tracksuit. Michael jumped as the door beside him opened. A young woman stepped out smiling.
It's not so bad once you're in there, she said as the elevator chimed open to collect her. I am unburdened, she declared with a satisfied sigh.
She was gone before Michael could ask any questions. He edged towards the room she'd vacated. Inside, the automaton was feeding two letters into a chute. A puff of black smoke and soot billowed out from it. The machine twisted its head and fixed Michael with a piercing stare. He gasped and backed away, hurrying along the corridor until he reached his appointed room. 6B. An automaton sat behind a table with a serene look fixed on its face. It stared unblinkingly at the opposite wall with its hands folded across the table. Michael turned the handle and stepped inside. The room smelled of old metal. Turning to face him, the automaton gestured to the seat opposite. The chair was stiff-backed and heavy. Michael shunted it closer to the desk, then sat with his shoulders hunched and his hands tucked under his legs.
I'm here to choose my...
The automaton pulled open a drawer and produced three blank envelopes of identical proportions. It laid them out before him, then sat up straight with its hands clasped. As Michael regarded the envelopes, his head felt light. He tried to remember his mother's advice.
Be polite. They're there to help you.
Which should I...
The automaton gave no reply, staring serenely through him. Michael's hands were clammy. He reached for an envelope, then froze, arm outstretched. He longed to seize the envelopes, tear them open, and see what was written inside, but he knew it was pointless. The letter would be inscribed in symbols only the ministry could read. It wasn't for him to know. His job was to blindly choose one fate and live with it. He glanced at the custodian's face, searching for a clue. Was this the right one? Was this his destiny? Michael moved his hand to the next envelope along. Was it just his imagination? Or did the automaton's eye twitch? Was that a sign? He reached across to the third envelope. Was that a tilt of the head? It was almost imperceptible, but he knew to look. His mother had told him to look. Inch by inch, he lowered his hand towards the third envelope. His mind whirred as he tried not to imagine the different dates written in each of them. Was his fate to be decades? Years? Months?
A bead of sweat trickled from his brow. His heart pounded, his fingers trembled. A rushing sound filled his ears. Snatching up the pen, he scribbled his signature across the central envelope. A weight evaporated from Michael's shoulders. It was done. Sighing with relief, he opened his eyes and smiled. But the automaton looked agitated. Its neck was twitching, and it was avoiding his gaze. Silently, it rose from the desk and took Michael's signed envelope.
"What's wrong? What are you doing? Stop! I've changed my mind," stammered Michael.
Ignoring him, the machine glided to a mailbox on the far side of the room. Michael staggered around the desk, hurrying to catch up.
"Wait! I want to change it! I want to—"
Catching up, he grabbed the tip of the envelope. The automaton froze. With a shudder, its marble eyes rolled back, flickering. A hatch popped open, revealing a cavity in its throat.
"No! Not that! I'm begging you! Just listen! Please!"
A shrill alarm resonated from the cavity. Michael wrenched off his blazer and stuffed it into the machine's neck, trying to smother the signal and cover its eyes. As he snatched back the envelope, a sharp blow knocked the wind from his lungs. The force of the machine's punch threw him across the room into the opposite mailboxes. Michael scrambled to his feet, groaning, bracing for another attack. The signed envelope had fallen from his hands and lay on the floor between them. The automaton ripped the blazer from its throat, flooding the room with a tinny klaxon din. As it glided towards the fallen envelope, Michael darted past the machine, back to the table. He snatched another envelope and threw himself at his mailbox. The machine's alarm turned to a piercing scream as it saw him holding another letter. As its broad metal body bore down on him, Michael thrust the new envelope into his mailbox. The machine crashed to the floor, twitching. As its eyes fell still and its siren failed, a public address system sounded from the corridor. The alarm was spreading. His brain raced. He grabbed the two remaining envelopes, the blank one on the desk and the signed one in the machine's hand. A cloud of smoke and soot puffed out as he thrust them into the incineration chute. Grabbing his blazer from the floor, he raced from the room. "Security to level 25, repeated the public address system. Michael pounded the elevator button until the door slid open with a ding. The automaton bellhop stared at him serenely as he leaped inside.
"Ground floor, hurry!"
The machine obliged. As they plunged, its head twitched like an egg timer being set and sprung in rapid succession. The elevator shuddered to a halt, and Michael sprinted across the atrium. The clerk stared at him, ashen-faced, as he pushed his way through the turnstile and into the open air. Michael scrambled down the steps two at a time, so fast he was almost falling. His family's excitement turned to fear as he hurtled towards them. His portly uncle intervened, catching him before he wiped out Amal's frail figure. Val pushed through the crowd and seized Michael by the shoulder, staring him in the face.
"Michael, what happened? You look drained." "It's done, Mom. Let's go," he replied.
"Did you get the website?" asked Amal.
Yes, Granddad. Come on. Let's go already."
"You hear that, everyone? He is unburdened," declared Amal. "Time to celebrate."
The group roared in approval. As Michael cajoled them onward, he glanced back at the ministry. Atop the cascading marble, a metallic figure glided out from the moon tower. Its head rotated smoothly until it fixed its expressionless eyes on Michael. Extending a strong, shiny leg forwards, it began to descend.